So for me, when I was asked this question, what would I say to my generation? I was speaking to one of the pastors this week in preparation. You know, he was just telling me how this meeting is going to look like. And I was telling him, I'm reading this book from C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. And I said to him, I might speak out of that book, but you know, yesterday morning in my quiet time, God gave me a different something to say. And I just now know why he gave me something else to say, because listening to you this evening, it is just add on to what you say. And the verse that God has spoken to me about comes from Philippians 4. And I'm just going to read it quickly. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, it says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You know that tonight, actually, there's four words in verse 5. It says, the Lord is near. You know, actually, obviously, being the oldest of the three people sharing here tonight, I'm 53 years old. I accepted Jesus into my life at a young age of 14. And I've loved the Lord ever since. You know, I've served him with my whole heart. You know, at the age of, I think I was 24 when the Lord called me back, when the Lord called me into missions and into full-time ministry. I left South African shores in 1994 to join a ship called the Doulos. And there I went to go and serve for 2 years. Actually, it became 3 years. I served the Lord with 300 other people from 65 different countries. You know, coming from a small place here in Cape Town called Hanover Park, you know, I always think of that story where they say, can anything good come from Samaria? You know, when they talked about Jesus, can anything good come from Hanover Park? You know, we didn't have much. We didn't have a lot, you know, but when God called me, he made a way. You know, and I remember way back, you know, when I just received the Lord, you know, there was this urgency that the Lord is coming back. You know, and for my whole life, you know, I've had this idea, 39 years, you know, I've been like, the Lord is coming back, the Lord is coming back. Lord, please, let me first get married. Then the Lord gave me a wife. And then I said, Lord, you can come back, but please, let me have children. Let me have the pleasure of having children. You know, then God gave me four beautiful children. You know, and now I'm thinking like, Lord, please, let me have grandchildren. No pressure, Naya. She's only 16. You know, the Lord is near. If I have to say anything to my generation, I want to say that the Lord is near. You know, we come through a difficult time of COVID, and there was a lot of anxiousness, a lot of worry. There was a lot of, oh, Lord, what's going to happen to this world? You know, but the Lord says, fear not. You know, we don't have to be anxious about anything. You know, the thing that the Lord has been speaking to me about a lot, you know, is you need to just live your life every day as if the Lord's coming tomorrow. You know, I was talking to someone this week. It's actually, he was my youth pastor. We grew up together. He's now the pastor of the church where my mom still serves, the AFM church in Hanover Park. When I spoke to Freddie, you know, who was my youth leader, he's now the pastor of the church, and we talked about that verse in Lamentations 3. It says, great is your faithfulness. And then it says, your mercies are new every morning. You know how that is? Like if I make a mistake today, tomorrow morning I just get a new portion of mercy. You know, if I tomorrow mess up, the next day I just get a new portion of mercy. And you know, that is how it is. So in this book, Mere Christianity, there's this chapter about hope. You know, and he talks about how you you live for one day. Your eyes is actually on the purpose of being getting into heaven. You know, that is where what we as Christians live for. We don't live for the now. We live for the future. You know, what happens here now, we always say that we are just passers by. We are just, this is not our home. You know, our home is there. You know, and so everything we do on this earth needs to be, you know, if we have a focus, you can only do what you do on this earth because your focus is on heaven. You know, and I can tell you that Jesus is coming back, and now it is sooner than ever. I even said to the Lord when he spoke to me through these verses, I said, Lord, even if I don't have grandchildren, you know, you can come back tomorrow. You can come back today. You know, because I know that, you know, heaven is much better than anything else. And I want to, my encouragement to you as a church tonight is, let's not be so focused. You know, that we actually, there's a saying like, don't be so heavenly bound that you are earthly no good. You know, but your life should actually be lived in such a way that, you know, that it will matter one day when you get to heaven. Just listen to this. Finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, you know, I serve in a home where there's 28 young men, you know, between the age of 18 and 24 years old. It's not an easy age group, you know, but these are all young men that come from disadvantaged backgrounds. They come from various walks of life. You know, they are nothing different than us, you know. The only thing that is different between us and them, or if I'm talking about myself, and them, is that they never had a daddy that they can call daddy, or they never had a father that was there for them. You know, so for me, every day I go to work and my main purpose is just to be Jesus. You know, I want them to see Christ in me. You know, I want them to see that I don't want to, you know, because I'm standing here, they are all here tonight. I can see them, they're sitting all over the place. You know, if I don't live the life that Christ has asked me to live, I cannot stand up here tonight telling you what I'm saying tonight. You know, I want to tell you, let us do what God has asked us to do. And it's not a lot. You just need to live today as if, you know, Jesus is coming tomorrow. You know, because if we do that, then we know that we have lived for Christ. You know, and I tell you, this afternoon, and I'm going to finish with this. When I fetched my son Luca, who's 10 years old, from the bus here this afternoon, and he was sitting in the bus, and he looked different. And I thought Luca is just tired, you know, because he's one of the guys in our house at 6 o'clock, up at 6. If he goes up to his bed and we've prayed for him, when he put his head down, he's gone. You know, and I think this weekend has been a long weekend for him, but he was tired. But I looked at him and I said, Luca, my boy, are you okay? And he looked at me, says, yes, daddy. I said, are you tired? He says, a little. I said, what happened at the camp? Did you maybe see a nice girl? Well, he's only 10. I was just joking with him, right? But you know what? He looked at me. He says, daddy, I gave my life to Jesus. Now, you know, when your 10-year-old son, who we know or we thought has made this decision for Jesus already, tell you, daddy, I gave my life to Jesus at the youth camp, or at the kids camp. I want to tell you tonight that Jesus is standing with his arms open wide for you to come. You know, I was 14 when I came. Lucas, 10 years old. How long must you still wait? You know, Jesus is here tonight. It says clearly that the Lord is near. Or the coming of the Lord is near. You know, we don't have much time to waste. We don't have much time to waste. You know, last week we went away with a group, with the Beth Uriel boys. We went camping. And on the Saturday morning, after I did a little talk, and it's not because of, it was nothing about what I said. You know, Tafatswa is one of the guys, you know, who is just so on fire for the Lord. He came to me, he says, Mr. Malvin, one of the guys want to accept Jesus in his life. And we prayed there for him. You know, we led him to the Lord. This morning, one of the guys came to me and he said to me, Mr. Malv, I went down and I asked about baptism. You know, there is something happening. And if we don't see it, I can tell you now that if you don't see it, you're gonna miss the boat. You know, you're gonna, and then you're gonna come before the Lord and say, but I've been to church every Sunday. I've been there every week, you know, listening to the gospel. I, you know, at that day, if you haven't accepted him as Lord and personal Savior, he will turn you away. And tonight, my challenge to you as my generation, but also to other generations tonight is you need to accept Jesus. And tonight, I hope, you know, that you will come forward and give your life to Jesus. Amen. We'll just pray. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for an opportunity tonight to be your lips tonight, Lord. I know I'm nothing, Lord. I'm just a normal person. I don't have a doctor's degree. I don't have anything behind my name. But all I know is that I'm a child of the living God. And tonight, Lord, I thank you that if you can save little Luca, if Luca can get this grasp, this idea that I need to give my life to Jesus, I believe tonight there are many others here tonight, Lord, who needs to make that decision. And I pray, Father, tonight that you will move them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that they will come to know you in Jesus' name. Amen.